Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, WNST.net, and Baltimore Positive, episode
two. Chapter two.
Chapter, not segment, volume.
Segment, volume, chapter. Well, while we were at break, I have to share with our listeners, Nestor went off to get his beautiful French press coffee.
Tell me where we are. And
we are at State Fair.
Give some love to the Ville.
The Ville has become restaurant center, really, in the state of Maryland. Incredible restaurants. State Fair, one of the great new additions. You can see their French press coffee for those of you who are watching on video. For those of you who are not, just imagine a nice cup of French press coffee as Nestor's digging in. But while we went to break so Nestor could coffee up, Malia identified Nestor as one of the poll truthers that we're going to try to convert. Tell us what a poll truther is.
I mean, it sounds so derogatory,
it is.
And I haven't Googled it yet.
And it's meant to be.
I don't even know.
It's meant to be.
I'm going to Urban Dictionary right now, and
just like when somebody says you're a 9/11 truther, that you think it's like an inside job, or you think it's like this big conspiracy theory. And so I always think that.
I just think it could be wrong. I just think it could be wrong.
People who think that like polls are some big conspiracy.
We're going back again to where when he goes to get his blood, he's going to make him take it all.
Well, no, that's what I said.
No, hold on. You just rolled your eyes at me. Hang on. I mean. Okay, hold on. You just rolled your eyes. I've done a lot of radio. I've been on a lot of dates. I know human communication. You rolled your eyes at me. So hold on. So you rolled your eyes at me. When you rolled your eyes and I said, but it could be wrong, I'm sure you're thinking, but it's probably right.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Okay, but I know that too. And I'm probably thinking that too. I mean, I really, in most cases, but there is that, it's like a... It's like when the Red Sox were down 3-0 and were losing in the 9th inning, statistically, and look, with gambling now being where it is, right, and sports and where we are, with every hand of blackjack when you watch television, with every point in a game, there is a statistical analysis to say the probability of the Yankees winning this game is that. I get all the sports, and I get that on the polling side. But I also say there is a chance that the Red Sox come back and Rocky happens, right?
Of course. And so you're right. Polls are a snapshot in time. Polls tell you exactly what the public...
Poll truther? Is that what it's called?
No, I don't know if it's a thing or just something I just...
What is it? It will be a thing. Malia just made it up.
Hashtag. What the hell is it?
I don't know.
I'm trying to have a cup of coffee here in Catonsville and make nice with somebody smarter.
In Nestor's defense a little bit, and educate us on this because... In certainly the first segment, I think we all learned a lot. So on this one, when I was a little boy, and even I was a little nerdy kid, even in the 7th and 8th grade, and I liked politics, and I liked to follow all that stuff. And my recollection is, as a little boy, that the two big polls at that time were Gallup and Harris.
That's right.
And what I recall was that Gallup had, at least for this is what people felt, had a Republican tendency, a Republican lean, and Harris was a little more Democratic. Now, I don't know if that's accurate
or not. It was the same
way
with Time and Newsweek.
Well, I want to come up today
right?
to Rasmussen.
Literally.
So let's use Rasmussen today. And so the look on your face says, Don, that may not have been right. So maybe my skewed way of thinking of Gallup and Harris at the time. But let's jump
early
then
80s
to
you're
today.
Talking about?
I wish it was. No, when I was in the 7th grade.
Seventh grade?
Yeah.
Mean, Hutchinson,
we're talking back in,
okay,
you know, much, much younger than the 80s. But... When I look at a poll today, and I go to Real Clear Politics, and I'm sure Nestor does as well, and I know you do in your field, and we go to all the aggregate polls, and you get the Real Clear Politics average. Consistently, Rasmussen, for example, has Donald Trump higher than every other poll. So going to Nestor's point, if they're all scientific, why do we all believe that Rasmussen leans Republican and gets different numbers than the others?
Okay, and so let's make the clarifying point. When I say that a scientific poll has a sort of the random sampling that underlies everything, but there are certainly things that there are variations in each of the public opinion polls. Now, I would say this, that you should always consider polls that are transparent in their methodology. So if you look at any of the Goucher poll results, I'm going to tell you a ton of things about my survey. I'm going to tell you who sponsored my survey. I'm going to tell you what dates our survey was in the field. I'm going to tell you how many Democrats and Republicans. I'm going to tell you the percentage of women, the percentage, the racial demographics, the regional demographics, the educational demographics of the sample. And so you then, as the reader, can judge what the results look like by that sort of randomly selected sample demographics. So where polls can differ, there's a lot of different ways we can find different variations in polling results. You know, one, question wording. So the type of question you ask and the order in which you ask the questions, that can definitely drive different variations in results. So it doesn't matter how perfectly sampled you do the population as a whole. It could match perfectly the population as a whole, but if you ask a bunch of garbage questions, you're going to get a bunch of garbage results.
Well, isn't it the same with standardized tests in your experience with education, that the different ways of asking questions would completely change
absolutely
any sort of outcome you would get, right?
And so I think you should buyer beware with polls, right? And I think that...
Okay, so that doesn't make me
a
flat. I mean, come on, maybe I come on too strong to say that.
Maybe
I call it poppycock.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. Well, now, you know, I mean, I'm more open-minded than that.
Well, I'm going to go back because I don't want to lose this Rasmussen point, because I do think it's one that people talk about. So why does Rasmussen skew Republican, or am I wrong? Does it not?
So I think that it has a tendency. It has a little bit of a tendency, certainly, at least if you look at the results. But I'll say that so some of these for-profit private organizations, they're not as transparent with their methodology, and that's only because it's proprietary information. He's there to generate and make money. So the Gallup poll, we're here for public service. So our goal is to inform public discourse. So we're going to put all of our information out there and let the public decide whether you think you should trust us or not. But
well, who do you trust then? Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Who do I trust?
No, I mean, you've just given me what I want in any walk of life, which is credibility, right?
Sure.
You just went through and said, here's why our poll isn't perfect, but this is why it's as perfect as we can make it. And maybe the Orioles would say the same thing on Sigmeidel and Michael Elias. Mm-hmm. Find this is 2009. I'll give you an example. I'm going to the dentist this week to get teeth done, right? My dentist is like a scientist compared to where we were 30 years ago. I want credibility in my doctors, and my wife's had her life. So when you give me that credibility, so someone like you who's clearly like at a different level on this, when you put on the television, whether it's from MSNBC to Fox or anywhere on the spectrum of wherever, the credibility of the information that you're getting, I want to make sure it's not dog food.
Yep.
So you tell me, and one of the things in Twitter that I do, people that I really dig on Twitter, and I've been in the sports journalism space where there's a lot of discredited people, right?
Okay.
And you know, barstool bloggers and whatnot in the world. And there's a credibility to what I do as well. And you want to follow credible people and then say, who are the credible people that they hang out with? So who are you hanging out with?
Who am I hanging out with? Well, okay, a couple people. So you mentioned the dentist. So dentists the American Dental Association is their professional organization, right? So you would want to go to a dentist that has like the ADA certification on it, right? You don't just go to like some random person. So pollsters actually have an overarching organization called APOR. The American Association for Public Opinion Research, and they recently started a thing called the Transparency Initiative, and it's what the Transparency Initiative does. It says to public pollsters like myself that you can carry the seal on your press releases that says Transparency Initiative if you follow these guidelines for transparency. If you tell us how the poll was conducted, who sponsored your poll, what are the demographics of the sample look like? What days were you in the field? All these different things. If you follow these guidelines for disclosure, that way the public can evaluate the work that you're doing appropriately and effectively. Not just the public, but also the media who talks about the public opinion polling. And so if you look at the Gallup poll results, I provide a full and total methodology statement that lay with the standards of APOR's Transparency Initiative. And so, and for example, so another one of the best pollsters in the country is Scott Clement at Washington Post. They have an A-plus rating from Nate Silver and folks. They've really, I think, nailed a lot of these last elections. They're members of the Transparency Initiative.
Well, picking up on the whole transparency thing, and I know one of your interests, and I will share, and I know it's what it's motivating Nestor in this whole Baltimore positive discussion. Full disclosure, shortly after I was appointed as county executive, one of the first things I did was ask you to come in and meet with me and some of my folks to talk about how Baltimore County could seek input from its citizens to make the county run better, and you graciously did that. I know there
are. Well, that was part of the app, right? That you had in the county too.
Well, that's the beginning of it, but it's much broader than that. What we saw it, and Malia can talk about it, because this is where the kind of work you do, you alluded to again in the break, can make a difference in Baltimore City, and somewhat something that you think the city's not doing. And I point to places where they're using, like, Be Heard Philly, and we got some flies flying around here. Be Heard Philly and Study LA, where cities are really making an effort to find out in a very real way what people care about. Tell us why that's a good thing, your involvement, and how Baltimore can do that better, because that's what we're about.
So, Nestor, in the interest of full disclosure, one of my rubs, so things that irk me when I hear people say, like, polls can't measure anything, blah, blah, blah. It's because I really believe that what we're really missing is scientific measurement of where the community is at on a variety of different issues. I think that the too much focus on public opinion polls is this horse race, like whether you're right or wrong with the election, and not enough focus with public opinion polls has been on what does the community want from their government and how does the community evaluate their resources in the city, their public resources.
But I mean, so much of that is like, I'm a city resident. I always say this to Don. And obviously, with the mayor thing being out there, who's going to lead and you know, how we're going to get people back and all that. But I just have a really basic thing for me. My wife's had cancer twice, right?
Okay.
So I turn on the water in my kitchen, right? And I wash dishes and I boil water and I make pasta. It's delicious. And, you know, I have a water thing and a filter. And I think to myself, I have never, ever measured what's in that versus the Aquafina, which is really tasty and I drink when I'm, you know, doing yoga and whatnot, versus like Matt Stover's company out here that is you know, producing clean. Like, I would love to find out with the water here at State Fair how it may be different than the water in Essex at Pizza John's or the water at my place. And I think that's a really basic thing, but like, all I want is clean water. I wouldn't know how to get there. And if you're going to poll me about anything, I have no idea. All I know is I want it clean. I don't know how to get there. And I think that's the hardest part, is some of the polling things would be, we all want better things, we just don't know how to get
but
there.
But I think, Malia, and chime in on this, I think what you're saying is we can start to get to what those things that people want and then inform decision-making.
Wait, so how do I even know? So as a policymaker, so how do I know that that the water is problematic in certain areas, right? Or that this is a major concern for you? So citizens should have a mechanism which they can express their concerns.
Well, I look out
directly
and see the harbor that turns green. I live at the harbor. I see the algae come up. I see dead fish floating to the top. I see them out with the nets trying to keep them clean on the 4th of July. You know, I live here, and I mean, anybody that owns a boat would tell you, you know, about that. So, I mean, all of these issues we have.
No, right. But where does the issue rank in terms of importance? Well, that's what you don't know. So, yes, you can look at the
I think that's like the grid. I think if the water went bad one day, the whole city would have a real problem.
Sure.
Right? So that would be one of the things I would just look at and say, you know, confidence, right? The consumer and the public confidence and all of this
right
stuff.
But if we ask the citizens of Baltimore a series of questions about what is on their mind, what do they care about, we don't know without some kind of scientific approach where water and the quality of water ranks on that list.
So fair. This is where I was going to go in this segment. I do a lot of traveling outside the Beltway. I live in the city. I'm hearing the same thing from Pasadena to Bel Air to Westminster to Hunt Valley. I don't go into the city anymore.
Right.
I live at the harbor. Seen businesses go out, seen businesses come in. People trying hard. I'm trying hard. That's what Baltimore Positive is all about.
Sure.
The outside the city notions of why they don't come to the city, I think that's the most important thing we can do. Because we can talk about tourism and bringing business back. And when Kevin Plank, I saw with Johnny O, opening things in the county and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But everyone in my world, and that's I got 100,000 different kind of people from LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I see and feel very much when Mary Bubala gets fired. And very much when Officer Caprio's, you know, murderer. Right. So I get those opinions. But the one thing that really worries me for the central part of the city is people who love the city, love the Orioles, love the Ravens, which was my jam, but would come down for a concert or come to Pier 6. I was with someone in Towson, someone I've known all my life, someone you taught in Dundalk. I'm not going to out her, but she said, my sister wants me to come down to Tagliata for a happy hour tonight, and I just don't want to deal with so I don't go down there anymore. And I'm hearing that everywhere I go. And I, from a pollster thing, how does the beginning of that, how does someone with money or not with money, come to you and say, let's make this the most important thing we do the next 18 months around here is getting to the heart of fixing Baltimore.
And my argument would be that we're not absolutely certain what people think because we haven't take the time to take a scientific measure of where Baltimore
let's
County
do that.
And that's my argument. So, like, sure, it's great that, like, people are telling you this. But my argument would be that those people aren't a random sample of Baltimoreans. And what we need to do is take a random sample of Baltimoreans and consistently and scientifically study opinions. So before we make policy, before we make widespread changes or investments, then maybe we should take the time to really figure out where attitudes are actually at in Baltimore City and Baltimore County. That's the argument I'm making. I'm not saying that public opinion should drive everything always everywhere. I'm saying that it's a very, very important piece of the puzzle. It's activist opinions, yes. It's you know, people who are involved in the communities, but it should be the general public's view as well.
Well, it's trying to win over people, which is what a lot. I mean, I'll give you an example. We talked to Dutch last week about the train, right?
Right.
I've been to Asia. I've been on those trains.
Sure.
I see what they can do. And when I think about me not being able to sell my condo right now, Lee Tessier, keep trying. I love you. And you know, I have a beautiful condo. You were down for dinner the other night. I literally can't sell my place because of the perception versus maybe the reality and versus the long-term thought of someone having the stones to say, you know what, if I could get from downtown Baltimore, Camden Yards to the White House in 22 minutes every day, Otterbein becomes an $850 to $1.2 million community if we can get crime and law and order and education and, you know, all of that in balance.
Well,
but
sure,
that's the long-term thought, but that's probably not what gets me elected next October.
But here's what's interesting, and I think themes are developing. And it's been interesting just this week, and hopefully we'll be talking with them soon. But, you know, Dutch was on and talking about the importance of the basics, you know, public safety, infrastructure, education. You know, Dan Rodericks wrote an incredible article this week talking about one of his things was it's everything. I mean, he said it's everything. It's not
it's
one
everything.
Thing.
I agree.
It's everything. And
cheers,
then Michael Olesker wrote a great piece this week talking about, again, the things that we can celebrate in the city. And he talked about, and I think Dutch alluded to it, the ability for a leader to be a cheerleader. When we look at this city, despite its challenges, if you step back and folks, again, the other night at your house, folks were speaking about it, when you think of the cultural and arts institutions, the hospitals, the universities, the sports teams.
Hey, John,
it is a vibrant city.
This is true. I've driven through Catonsville almost every day over the last 7 or 8 days, right? I mean,
right.
I've been here at State Fair twice. I drove through to Ellicott City. I was at an event last night. I literally came by. Beautiful lights here at State mm-hmm. Fair outside. It looks like an Italian garden, literally, when I drove by.
Yeah, if people haven't been,
beautiful. You know,
got about 80 seats out on the patio. You feel like you're, you know, some vacation spot.
I went over to the staff here, and I said, I need a cup of decaf. And they looked at me and said, sure. And I'm like, it has to be decaf. So let's pray that this is decaf.
Yeah, we don't want you caffeinated. Malia and I agree. We do not want you caffeinated.
Here's my feeling about Baltimore. I'm leaving Catonsville right now and driving home. I'm happy that that's where I live, so I still feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that go off to a job every day and hate it, right? And they dread doing that. I don't dread going back to Baltimore. I don't dread walking to the harbor. I'm looking forward to the Steve Miller concert. I'm looking forward to the Orioles getting fixed and, you know, all of that stuff. But I also, we need to get the motorcycles and the squeegees and the problems and someone to lead. And I think part of this is, to your point, and I think you'll expand upon this, there isn't a lot of science into what Baltimoreans
sure.
really want right now. And someone needs to figure that part of it
and
out.
And you bring up the great point, the squeegee kids. You would think that from listening to people that this is this horrible, tragic issue that it's affecting the city every single day and like stopping commerce. Do you really think if we took a public opinion poll in Baltimore City of all Baltimoreans, a random sample Baltimoreans?
All Baltimore. I think if you took a sample size of Bel Air outside the Beltway as to why they don't come in, Squeegee Boys would be number one.
I don't. Oh, don't. I don't.
I don't think they think they're going to get murdered, but they know they're going to do the Squeegee Boy thing. That they know.
You think
they
makes,
know at the foot of the city
you think,
there will be Squeegee Boys. They think I might get something really bad might happen.
Well, I think
I talk to these people every day, and they're people that
sure.
I
think both
and support my businesses, support my sponsors, support the community, support the Orioles.
And the
Orioles and the Ravens, they better find you and give you some money and figure out why people aren't.
And my argument would be instead of before the city invest a disproportionate amount of money and resources to deal with an issue like the squeegee kids, right? Then perhaps they should really scientifically gauge how big of an issue it actually is in the grand scheme of
issues. Let's scientifically figure out how many squeegee boys there are and give them jobs doing something that promotes people coming into the city and become ambassadors to the city instead of a deterrent. I mean, an absolute deterrent. I hear it every day, not on Facebook or Twitter. I hear it every day when I'm out in the community selling, buying, knowing.
But here's one thing I want to ask Malia. Is it possible?
But just to clarify, though, my argument is, so if we want to start identifying issues within the city, that we need to do it more scientifically than just what your friend said, that you talked to people every day. That's great. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that.
How would we enact a poll of such kind?
We just talked about
money
it.
Money or juice comes to you and says, so then soup to nuts, how do you begin to formulate what questions are asked and what issues are important other than the buzz on Twitter, right? Whatever the
Twitter's
trending,
not representative.
Trending topic
mm-hmm.
is.
I wouldn't. But Twitter would be the last place I'd go. Twitter is a disproportionately loud, non-representative sample.
I agree with that.
Malia, is it possible? Because, again, it's funny. I was encouraged on the way here this morning. Someone posted on Facebook and it was very positive, and they actually gave a shout out to Baltimore Positive. Evidently, there was a story yesterday that there were several hundred kids waiting in line in the city for a summer job program. So
that's awesome.
That kind of initiative, I think can make a difference. And so it's not as simple as let's get kids off the street. Mm-hmm. It's a complex. And what I hear Malia saying is let's identify the complex issues, find out what it really is and the underpinnings of them, and let's address it. My guess is that if you did a poll, I'm going to ask you about the Maryland voters and the parts of the state, that you both might be correct, that if we surveyed, if we said to Sarah T. Hughes, and we'll come back to Sarah T. Hughes, but if we said to your folks at Sarah T. Hughes Center, I want you to survey Baltimore City residents. They might have a different perception of how much of a problem the squeegee boys are versus squeegee kids are versus
probably.
If you did that same survey in Anne Arundel or Baltimore County, right? You might get a different reaction. So you both could be right. I think. Tell us how. So what I hear Malia saying is we need to be more scientific. Tell us how. Let's take a couple.
Perception and reality is what you're trying to create, bring the divide together and say, here's the perception, here's the reality. And I that does make me more of a believer when I have credibility in what you're doing.
I guess my argument is, I hear this, to me, a disproportionate reaction to the squeegee kids, is that if you ask the average Baltimore City resident to rank issues involved, some of their issues, it's probably low
absolutely.
On the list.
Right. As to why people don't come in from the outside and support the business, it would be safety. It would be concern for their safety.
Sure. And that's my argument.
And then what's around that would be my car, my person, my life, a hassle. Is this enjoyable? Did I have a good experience? Where do I park?
Yeah.
All of those kinds of things that I'm sure the sports franchises, as well as anybody trying to attract a crowd mm-hmm. in downtown Baltimore, have done tons of studies on. And then I look at those studies and I say, who paid for it? What outcome were they trying to get?
Sure.
And but that is the skepticism of a 50-year-old guy that began with Arbitron and now tries to find, to your point, what is credible.
But that goes
what
back to Malia's point about the transparency of polling. I think I think we're coming up on a break. Great place to stop. We got one more segment. Want to talk about likely voters versus voters, why that matters. And I want you to talk with Nestor and me and those folks that are listening about cities that you're aware of that are doing this kind of outreach.
Great.
Sometimes people say, well, where is that happening? My guess is you have some answers. So,
I do.
So we're here at State Fair. We got another great segment coming up. We're going to make sure Nestor stays with the decaf because, as you know,
I'm writing my notes.
We don't want a caffeinated Nestor. And then we'll be back soon.
I think here's what I want to do. How to use this information.
There it is.
Is that good?
To make Baltimore better.
There we go. Don's here. Malia's here. I'm Nestor. We are Baltimore Positive at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. We never stop talking about things that I'm learning about, I think.